You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Sweet. And Devin, good to see you. Good to have you.
Hello.
Just so everybody knows, Devin, maybe we should. John, we might want to put Masters in our... Devin or Masters or something in our logo from here on out. We've been getting requests to have Devin as part of the show's name now because it's just not the same when Devin's not here.
Oh, okay, those requests haven't come from me, though. Let's just throw that out there.
Well, I know. So, it's something to think about. No, we want people that listen to know Devin means as much to this show as Germs and I. In fact, probably more so because, as some of you have heard, the show... Devin's like the oil that wheels the machine, so it's all good. It makes it work. It makes it go. We have a good show when Devin's with us. Just so you know, Devin, I appreciate you.
I know.
So
it's John that I'm worried about.
You're worried about me?
Worried about whether you appreciate him?
Oh, I do.
I don't know, John. I'm not feeling the.
Oh, is this where we like go around the table and try to sing our praises and whoever praises you the most wins?
Yeah, well, that's how
I am blessed to have such a fine producer, and I fully support your agenda.
We're starting the podcast every week now by going around and saying one nice thing about the other people.
I feel like this is where we resurrect the old Budweiser commercial. I love you, John, or Jim, or whatever his name was. You remember that? I love you too, but you're not getting my Bud Light. Jedi and Germs brought to you by Bud Light. No, anyway,
that would be a great sponsor. Let's jump into talk.
Let's jump in. We got plenty of jazz to talk about.
All right,
John, yes. go ahead and kick us off.
All right, we are heading into the All-Star break on an 11 game winning streak. The Jazz at one point were in 10th place at 19-28, and now they're at 30-28 in 10th place. But looking at 538 projections, they still stand having the Jazz going 46-36. They are projected to finish sixth. And one thing that's really weird about 538, 538 gave them better chances of making the playoffs than the Spurs.
Oh.
Jazz are at 87%, Spurs are at 84%. In fact, the Thunder are at 85%.
Wow.
So next time I'm going to look into the strengths of schedule of all the playoff teams and what's coming up to go more in depth with that. But I find that interesting.
Well, who was it? Was it you or someone else? Maybe it was a couple people that posted the other day of the final, I don't remember who it was, the final 24 games the Jazz have, 14 of them are at home. Of those 14, what did we say? Six are against teams that are higher than them in the rankings. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. They have home against Warriors, Clippers, Timberwolves, Rockets, Blazers, Spurs. All those are home games.
Right. So, I mean, they're going to be tested down the stretch. We're recording this as we head into All-Star break. So when we come back, we'll be able to revisit. But I think it's fair for me to ask right now. I want predictions from all three of us. How do the Jazz finish the final 24 games? John?
Let's see. 46-36 would be a 16-8 run.
Yeah.
That sounds very reasonable.
Okay. That's exactly what I was going for. I say 16-8. Devin, final 24, if you had to pick, and 14 of them are at home, keeping in mind six of them are against better than them in the playoff standings right now.
I'm going to be positive today.
Okay.
I'm going to put positivity out there, and I'm going to go 17-7.
Ooh, 47 wins.
Yeah, I'll give him an extra one.
And by the way, I'd have to go back and look at our, and I don't know, John, if you have them handy, but we'd have to go back and listen to the early show before the Vegas odds show. I think that Vegas had them around 40-something or 30-something. Well, I can't remember what it was, but I think we all picked the over, and I think all of us were saying right around 45-47 wins. So here we are closing out the season, and they may end up there. And I'm going to just put it here. If they go 14-10 in the final 24, they're still going to make the playoffs. That's 44 wins. They're still going to make the playoffs. It's a question of seeding to me at this point. Would you agree?
Yeah, if they're at 44, you know, this also projects Pelicans and Clippers to go 44-38. So I would hope they own tiebreakers in all those situations,
which I believe they would. I believe they should. So, you know, yeah. And by the way, if we get a sixth seed, and assuming the standings up at the top three don't change, Jazz would get an opening round opportunity at the Spurs. I am not too uncomfortable about that either.
Not oh, yeah. I mean, by the playoffs, I imagine that Kawhi and LaMarcus and maybe even Rudy Gay will all be back.
Right.
So they will be a better team than what we saw.
Correct.
But they beat them the first time, too. In fact, they beat them 3-0 now against the Spurs.
They are 3-0 against the Spurs. And each of the previous...
And two of those were without Donovan.
Yeah, and two of those were against a... full, well, other than Kawhi Leonard, a full strength Spurs team. So no Kawhi in one of the first two. I can't remember if he played in the very first one or not. I'd have to go back and look at that night. I don't remember.
Dev. I want to say he didn't.
It looks like they've only played him twice. I guess we only got Spurs three times this year.
No, we've played him three. I swear we played him earlier in the season in November.
Well, I could be missing it in my scrolling. Oh, no, you're right. Three.
Yeah. That November.
Because we had an early one, too.
Yep. We did.
Yep. 3-0.
So, now, I real quick, let's talk about the hot streak for a minute. You know, we'll get to Jay Crowder here in a second because I do want to talk about him. But let's talk about this hot streak for a minute. 11 games straight. You mentioned that Donovan didn't play against the Spurs. He also was really non-impactful in two of those games. My wife asked me an interesting question at home, and I've been asked it by a few others. Where do we go for why this streak has happened? Like, who's the reason for this? I mean, Rudy has been here present for all 11. Do we go to Rudy's return? Or do we go to Joe Ingles' hot streak? Or do we go to their defense or their off? I mean, what is it that has gotten the Jazz 11 straight?
I think it starts with Rudy's return, returning 100%.
Yeah.
He's been the monster we wanted him to be. I think there were some early season chemistry issues to work out. Those are all fine. Now he's back at full strength. Him being back at full strength has allowed other guys to shine. Rubio has finally been playing like the point guard we hoped he was past few weeks. And even when they've been missing guys, you know, when Mitchell had to miss a game or two and Rubio's had to miss a game or two, everyone stepped up. I also think it is a positive that they traded away Joe Johnson because Joe Johnson was just the worst statistical player on the team.
Right.
But, you know, you have to give him respect and give him his minutes and try to keep him valuable.
Well, that's the other crazy thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the other crazy thing is before that trade, I mean, even after the trade, a lot of people talked about Rodney Hood and whether it would affect it or not. But Rodney had, what, one 30-point game in this stretch before he was traded. Really didn't have much of an impact either necessarily. It's so you can't point to Rodney's there or absence either way, presence or absence as to what happened either.
Well, the Jazz are now 14-5 when Rodney doesn't play.
Wow. Wow.
And they're, let's see, when did we get Crowder? So they're 3-0 with Crowder.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, Rodney was our worst defensive player.
Right.
And Joe was our worst offensive player, and they're both gone. Now, we were winning a lot even with those guys. I mean, the first 7 or 8 wins, those guys were still on the team. And so, you know, that was a factor. They helped. But I think that's why I say mainly it's because of Rudy Gobert's return and defense just being solid. With Rudy just being solid in the paint, it allows your wings to guard more closely on the perimeter. So you're denying more threes. And with that freedom, you take more chances, you get more steals, you cause more turnovers. And the pace has been picked up, and Rubio does better with the quicker pace. And you have guys playing it. You have guys stepping it up out of nowhere. Royce O'Neal has been a wonderful find. He's the next Wesley Matthews, it looks like. And then Joe, like, setting career high scoring 2 games in a row.
Right.
All of that comes together. Now, during the streak there, the things that aren't sustainable, I think the Jazz are like 50% from three or something crazy like that in the streak. I think it's 43%, but like Joe is 58% from three and Rubio's 50% from three. And just some of these things that, you know, aren't going to last, but every game has had enough positive contribution from someone that it's able to work out.
Right. No, and I agree. The hot shooting isn't sustainable. In fact, it's come down a little bit over the last couple of games. They struggled to score, you know, the other night against Phoenix. I mean, they didn't, but they did. They've had their moments where it's kind of dropped off a little bit. You know, I tweeted something out the other day and shared it with you and glazed over it a little bit. But you were talking about 3-point shooting a minute ago. I went out and looked. I mean, the Jazz during a stretch of 10 games, you know, prior to that Phoenix game, during their 10-game winning streak, their defensive rating was 97.4%. But what the killer was for me, and this the Spurs game got me to think about it, they're running guys off the 3-point line on the other teams, and they have held 3 of the top 5 3-point shooting teams in the league under average. In fact, crazy under average. Those top 3 teams, three of those top 5 teams, the Warriors, Pistons, and Blazers, which is just crazy. I didn't even think the Pistons were on that list. By the way, the Jazz are on that list of top 5 teams shooting threes. So, but they held the Warriors and the Blazers, or the Warriors and the Pistons, to below 25%. And the Blazers still shot 36%, but it was lower than normal. Like, they're running teams off the 3-point line.
Yeah. Yeah. During this 11-game winning streak, they are 6th on offense, 1st on defense, 1st in net rating, 6th in efficient field goal percentage.
Yeah.
You know, this is a, and if you go to January 1st, they're top 5 offense and defense.
Well, and I think the thing that can be said in all of this, and again, it goes back to Rudy's return and Quinn's coaching, it's defense that's winning them ball games. And their defense is turning into offense. And a lot of times it's transition. You got Royce running the floor. You got Donovan running the floor. They're pushing the floor. And Rudy even looks quicker than normal. Anybody else notice that? That Rudy is flying down the court a lot faster than I think I've ever seen him fly.
Well, that's because Rudy's starting to run the point here and there.
Oh, I know. Oh, right. That Spurs game.
Yeah.
The point guard Rudy throwing the assist.
Yeah, yeah. I like him, especially against the Spurs, because you know that Duncan wanted to do that and Pop wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And so Rudy's like, hey, Quinn lets me do this, you know.
It was awesome. It was awesome. John, you wanted to touch on Jay Crowder.
Yeah. The thing, when they got him, they haven't had a chance to practice yet, and they've only been running simple plays with him. But there has been no issue in integrating him into the team. And he played 38 minutes the other night. It's been really good.
Observations of his game and the fit it is for the Jazz?
Well, he's exactly what we hoped he would be. We hoped for Boston Crowder, and he's been exactly that. You know, he's been a hustle guy. He's been solid on defense. His shooting is better than it was in Cleveland. And it seems like he's one of those guys, if you just let him touch the ball, he's more active, he's more engaged, and his shooting improves. I mean, the Jazz are doing everything with him that they did in Boston and not doing anything they did with him in Cleveland. And, you know, it's infectious. He's obviously a lot happier here.
Right.
And, you know,
He I'm
good for him.
He passes the ball really well too. So, I mean, the other night he hit Rudy on a cut into the basket, and it was just like, wow. Wow, Crowder. I don't know if you've caught that, but some of those passes he's thrown are just crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. I expect we'll see slight improvement once he's able to get more of the plays down and get some more practice with these guys.
Right.
But it's been inspiring how easily he's worked his way in. And someone else we should probably talk about more is Royce O'Neal. I mean, he barely made the team. They signed him to a nice 3-year deal. And I mean, he's played Alec Burks out of a job. I mean,
yeah.
Alec Burks is only getting like 6 minutes a game now because Royce O'Neal has stepped up and he's just that much more effective. And I've been looking at Burks' numbers and I'm seeing him on the TPA charts that NBA Math does. Alec's been sliding further and further left when it comes to offense. He's in fact, with Joe Johnson gone, now Alec Burks is our least efficient offensive player.
And that might be due to the fact that he's just maybe pressed a little bit more when he's put into the game because he's just not getting as much time to be comfortable and get in a rhythm. I think that's probably as much of it as anything. And Royce is getting minutes because he's defending. You know, I heard Quinn say that the other night. Royce is defending, and he's defending really well at a high level. And we know that in Quinn's system, you defend the ball, you're going to get time on the floor.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and Alec is not a good defender. He's just not. I've seen him play and it's been Matador defense, but you think back to what was the game where Royce had that stop? It was the Spurs game again.
Where he got that steal about midcourt, ran the floor and dunked it.
Not only that, he had that one, but he was on Ginobili at the end of the game.
Yeah. Oh,
to,
yes.
To seal the win.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, Royce has been clutch on defense and has not only that, he's put up good offensive numbers too.
Right. No, I agree. All right, well, that's enough on the Jazz streak, enough for the Jazz situation. Let's move on to NBA news and notes. What have we got on our NBA news
this
week?
When we last recorded, it was right before the trade deadline. So now we had a bunch of trades,
right?
And let's just kind of go over how we think they're working out for everybody.
Well,
I think the Jazz trade's working out well. We've gone over that.
Right.
I would say so far Cleveland is a win.
Yes.
The one that hasn't really done much yet is the Blake Griffin to Detroit.
How's Detroit
because
been?
You had the, well, Detroit was the ninth seed in the East and the Clippers were the ninth seed in the West and they're both still where they are. It's kind of been a wash so far.
Did you expect that one to make a big difference though?
I did, specifically for the Clippers, I thought. I expected the Clippers to fall, and they haven't. They have not slipped.
Yeah, the Clippers, I mean, their record since the trade is better than Detroit's record since the trade.
Yeah.
Detroit had to get thin to make the move, and the Clippers, you know, they got back some quality players, but they're really not playing any worse than they were at the beginning of the year. I think it's glaring that they don't have Chris Paul and they don't have Patrick Beverley.
Right.
But they're still this competent team chugging along. And Detroit is, I think it's more important for Detroit to make the playoffs than the Clippers this year. And if Detroit gets Blake and they still miss, then I think Stan Van Gundy's in the hot seat. Because you've got your all-star and they still can't do it.
Is the difference between the two teams really coaching though? Van Gundy versus Rivers? That might be your difference.
I think that's some of it. I think some of it is talent. I mean, Andre Drummond's having his best season yet.
Right.
It took him a while to get to this point. He still has holes in his game, but you know, he's better than he's ever been. Detroit has been missing Reggie Jackson for most of the year.
Right.
And they've just got a thinner bench now. So before the trade, I would say coaching had a lot to do with what was going on. They've had underperformances. Stanley Johnson has not turned into the player they were hoping for.
Right.
So I think all of those are factors.
Okay. Who's the other team? Let's talk about the Lakers. They were the other benefactors or whatnot in a trade scenario with Cleveland in this case. Cleveland has done really well. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, we could go to the other night between him and Rondo. Man, things kind of got ugly there. How's that Isaiah Thomas experiment going to work in LA? I don't think it's going to work at all. In fact, I think they let him go, don't they? At the end of the year?
At the end of the year? Yeah, they probably let him walk at the end of the year. He has to recover from the Cleveland debacle. I mean, his value has just plummeted so badly. Part of it's because he came back too soon from that hip injury. He probably needed to stay out more, but he really wanted to prove himself.
Right.
But, you know, the liabilities, I mean, Boston is a really, really good defensive team. And I think they're the number one defense right now, one or two. And when they had Isaiah, everyone else could cover up for his flaws. And Cleveland is one of the worst defensive teams.
Right.
Before he was playing. Then he gets out there and it's really bad. And his shooting hasn't been that great.
Right.
So, yeah, his stock has just fallen. So what in LA, what they're doing right now is they're having him come off the bench. And okay, here are the scores of the three games since Isaiah joined the Lakers. They lost to the Mavericks 130-123. They lost to the Pelicans 139-117. And they lost to the Timberwolves 119-111.
Holy crap.
LA is just not playing defense.
Let's break that down. That is about, that's 100. I mean, that's they're giving up a lot of points. I can't even break down the average in my head. That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
129.5.
Oh, wow. It's insane. And it's insane that we've come a year removed from Isaiah's performance in the playoffs and his situation with his family. And here he is, and nobody wants him in truth. And he's probably not going to get the payday he wants this summer either. I don't think there's anyone in the league that's going to give him the payday that he and his agent think he should get. I just don't think it's going to happen. Read a piece yesterday. I can't remember who wrote it. Can't remember where I saw talking about the Cavs in the trade situation and just how if LeBron were to choose to stay, and they would re-sign Rodney Hood, they were saying that the Cavs would break NBA records of salary cap over the next 2 to 3 years. I think they said at one point it would reach $300 million.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I wish I could find that piece because I'd share it with you, but they were talking about the fact that they're already approaching astronomical numbers as is. And it's not out of the norm that each of the last 3-4 seasons that they've, after the trade deadline, have spent more money to keep, you know, to make the team better, you know, down the stretch. Yeah. After the All-Star game, after the trade deadline. But this year is ridiculous. They say that if LeBron and Rodney stay, yeah, it's gonna shoot over anything we've ever seen in the NBA. Which brings to the question, does LeBron stay? And also, do they really keep Rodney Hood for the foreseeable future? I don't know. Or are they really just planning that LeBron's gone? Because once he's gone, they can afford just about anybody they have.
Well, here's the thing. The Cavs have the highest payroll in the NBA. They have, it's like 300,000 more than the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
The luxury tax starts, I think, at $118 million.
Right.
So you're $17 million above that, and I think it's once you're $5 million over, then the penalties like start going up exponentially. So yeah, they are way, way capped.
I believe if I read the article correctly, after the third year of paying penalty tax, it goes up again too.
Yes.
Which yes, that's this year. That's
yeah.
That's crazy. That's this year.
Yeah. If LeBron walks, then, you know, they're still stuck financially. That's the thing.
Right.
LeBron walks, you still have over $100 million on your payroll.
Right.
So you have to, yeah, relinquish Rodney Hood and then see if you can't trade away some of these guys for just draft picks and considerations.
Well, and they've got that Brooklyn pick. That's going to be a, you know, inexpensive pick. I mean, it is a top pick in the lottery, but still, it's...
Yeah,
they're in trouble. That this trade was for the now for them as much as it was for the future if LeBron walks. But, you know, back to the point. You said the Cavs have been good since this trade. I wonder if they can maintain it, and I think they will, actually. I think they've put themselves in a nice position the rest of this season. It's just what happens after this season that's going to be fun to watch from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, if LeBron, say, he just took his player option of $35 million and just stayed the one, just gave them another year, and they relinquished Rodney Hood, they would still be paying more next year than they are this year. That, in fact, they would be at $141 million.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on from trades. You didn't have anybody else to touch on, did you? Oh, Joe Johnson hitting some big shots for Houston the other night. He is now with Houston. There's another guy.
Good for him.
Yeah. Another guy that moves on after the trade deadline.
One trade we didn't touch on was that Suns Magic trade.
Oh, Elfrid Payton.
Elfrid Payton for a second rounder. To me, that was one of the few trades that I saw that I went, you're getting worked here, Orlando. You know, that was the only one that seemed like a bad trade to me. But what did you guys think? And what do you think having watched him play against the Jazz right after that in a Suns jersey?
The Suns are still awful. They're just awful.
The Suns are awful, but I think Elfrid Payton is going to do better there than he did in Orlando.
And I can agree with that. And that's where I was going to go with that. I didn't say that, but I was going to go there.
I just think his value is greater than that second round pick. I feel like, don't choke on your drink right now, folks, but I feel like Phoenix maybe did something right.
For a change?
Yeah. We don't say that a lot, but I think that was a good move for them. And I don't know what Orlando's going to do going forward. I'm really curious.
Well, it seemed to me they did that because they didn't want to match Elfrid Payton's deal next year. They weren't going to pay him. And so they tried their best to get a first. They couldn't get it. So they got a really high second. I think it's Memphis's second. So that's going to be a high second. And you know, say they had traded him to the Warriors instead, and they could have said, we got a first round pick. Well, it's the 30th pick. So this is going to be like 32, 33. So that's okay.
That's right,
I still feel like Phoenix easily won that deal.
No, I think we're all in agreement there. So to your point, Devin, you're right. Orlando, a little bit of a weird trade there. Phoenix did win that trade.
So I'm not sure there were any others that really we need to talk on. I mean, Sacramento didn't get anything.
No.
Anything much.
No.
Oh, did you guys read the article on the 24 hours leading up to that three-team trade?
Yes.
And how idiotic Sacramento was.
Yeah, how Vlade was just, yeah. Who was it they wanted to include in that trade? And it was their big man.
Big Papi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved reading the fact that Dennis, and for all those who want to doubt Dennis, you look at what Dennis Lindsay did as soon as that came on the table. It was like, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. And it was very interesting to read how the Cavs GM really wanted to protect the Jazz front office through all that and the relationship he had. So he tried to work a deal on his end that would be workable for the Jazz. I enjoyed that piece actually quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, when the Kings drafted that guy, he was projected at like 28, 29 on most draft boards, and they took him 13th, and it was a big shock. It's like, wow, what are you guys doing? And it showed that they didn't know what they were doing, and, you know, they had to waive him. I mean, how often do lottery picks get waived in their second year?
I know, right?
Hardly ever. You always just ride it. And then, I mean, they'll get traded, but you usually just stick it out for 3 years and just don't pick up his options and go, well, we did our best. But man, halfway through his second year, it was just like, nope, this guy is hopeless.
And in the end, I just want Jazz fans to know that I appreciated that piece alone because I think the unwritten between the lines statements in there say a lot about the respect that Dennis Lindsay and the Jazz front office have around the league. Right? I mean,
yeah.
People respect Dennis Lindsay. They respect the Millers. They respect the front office, and they're not about to take advantage of the Jazz. For all the things we've had issues with over the years, that spoke loudly to me in that article. It really did. So, Great piece. And if anybody doesn't know what it was, didn't Wojnarowski write it? I think it was released on ESPN, written by Woj. So take some time to check it out.
You could tell that 90% of his source was the Cavs GM.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it's true. I also enjoyed the conversation that it made it sound that LeBron and the Cavs GM were very much in touch with each other through the entire process, which spoke volumes to me as well. So, all right, quick, let's touch on All-Star Weekend. Tonight is the rookie challenge, isn't it? Or is it already ongoing right now? The rookie game, the whatnot?
The rookie games in the evening.
Rising Stars, yeah.
Will be this evening. I believe the celebrity game is sometime this afternoon. So if you're wanting to watch Justin Bieber, you can tune into that.
That's not happening.
Saturday, you've got your skills challenge, your 3-point shooting, and
the main event,
the dunk contest.
Yep.
And then Sunday night, the big event, the big show.
Yep.
The pickup game, if you will.
Where are we tuning in, John? What are you planning to watch? All of it? Most of it?
Yeah, I'm DVRing the whole thing. I never watch more than 5 minutes of the celebrity game, but I'm looking forward to the Rising Stars Challenge, the dunk contest. I will get the 3-point contest. I like that too. The skills challenge, I don't know if I'll watch that or not. And then I always watch the All-Star game too, and I'm going to watch with my arms folded, glaring at the screen, expecting to see anything remotely better on defense than what we got last year.
We almost got 400 points between the two teams last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
They better not let that happen again.
Nope. I don't want that to happen again either.
To be fair, we have seen a few scores this season that have almost been up to those all-star numbers. I mean, the Cavs have given up, 140 plus in a game. We talked about the Lakers giving up 129 on average.
Jazz have dropped 130 on the Warriors. It's happened.
You can't beat up these all-stars too bad, right?
No. So let's touch on the main event tomorrow night, because that's really what we want to talk about. Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell comes in for an injured Aaron Gordon, will be featured, or one of the features of the dunk contest. Did you see the list of judges?
Terrible.
No, I haven't looked at that.
Oh.
You've got
you've got
Marky Mark Wahlberg. You've got
Khalid.
Lisa Leslie. You've got DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
You've got Chris Rock.
And then,
who I'm not sure he's ever touched the net.
Was it Dr. J was the other one still?
And I believe Dr. J will be there.
Dr. J and Lisa Leslie are about the only two I care for in that group.
Well, they're the only two that have ever dunked a basketball.
They're the only two that matter when it comes to opinions on this entire subject. So there you go, John. That's your five judges.
Why are you doing that? Why are you bringing in a movie star, a stand-up comedian?
People watch.
And a rapper.
And yeah, a rapper, producer. What knowledge do they have? Why don't we get like people who have participated in the last 5 years or some of those legends, you know?
Kenny Smith.
Why isn't Michael Jordan over there?
Why isn't Kenny Smith there again? Kenny Smith has been fine the last few years too.
Right. Are you telling me that someone is going to go, you know what, I don't usually like basketball, but I like Chris Rock, so I'm going to watch him judge a dunk contest?
Suddenly a ton of people.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's something to put in commercials. Yeah. See, Mark Wahlberg, Chris Rock, and all your favorite NBA players.
And there will be some SNL stand-up shots, you know, come Saturday night of somebody pretending to be Chris Rock calling a 10 on a dunk. I don't know.
Here's what I think is going to happen, and this is a concern. I think you're going to have these people who come in, they see a dunk, and they go, oh, that was great. That's a 9. When really it should be like a 7. You know what I mean? And then you've set this bar so high for like the last guy going that they have to have like a perfect 10. I don't think it's going to work.
No.
I think you're going to have some mix up in the judging, almost kind of like what we saw when it was Aaron Gordon and Levine.
Yeah.
Where Levine throws down a dunk and it's a great dunk.
and he only gets an 80,
and he gets like a 50, and 50, then
yeah,
and then Aaron Gordon goes and he does an even better dunk, but you can't get more than a 50
because Levine got a 50
because under the legs honestly should have been like a 75 dunk,
right.
I don't know.
And then we all won't care if Donovan Mitchell all of a sudden gets 50 on a couple of dunks just because, and he wins it, right? Will it really matter when that happens? If it happens?
It will happen.
John, does Donovan win this?
Yes, Donovan wins.
Okay.
He's got something special in the works.
All right, I want both your opinions. John, I want to start with you. Who on the Jazz ends up helping him?
It's already been announced.
Who was it?
Royce.
Is it Royce?
Yeah, Royce. Royce is in L. Oh, man, was I not supposed to say anything?
Well, I saw after the game the other night that Royce, but then somebody asked Joe Ingles if he was going to help, and Joe Ingles says, I can't talk about it.
Sorry, Don. Donovan and I were texting yesterday, and he was like giving me these ideas, and we were like going back and forth on what he should do.
I thought you were breaking news because Royce did tweet out LA the other day. So
really, John, who helps him? Do you think it's going to be Royce? I mean, who on the Jazz ends up going with him?
Well, those would be my top two guesses anyway.
Right.
Joe and Royce.
Okay. I feel the same way. Maybe he gets them both.
I will say this. I know Royce is in LA. He is with Donovan. They traveled together. I do not know if Joe Ingles is. I know he was planning on spending the time off with his family.
Yes, he was. He tweeted
so
about it.
I don't know if they're like meeting up in LA or if they're here. Or,
who knows?
Who knows? But
okay.
But it'll be fun to watch.
Anything else we want to touch on for All-Star break?
Oh, that's good.
All right, let's move on to listener questions. We get any listener questions? I didn't see any responses.
No, they probably figured we're recording in the night in Alaska later, so.
That's true. It'll probably happen way later. We'll save those for the next time around. All right, let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Lonzo Ball dropped a mixtape.
Yay.
Have you guys listened?
No.
Do you care?
No.
No.
Okay. That's about how I expected that one to go. Did you guys hear, I didn't listen to the interview, but Barkley talking to Jimmy Kimmel. There was a trade on the table. He was supposed to be going to the Lakers, and it fell through. But before it fell through, he went out drinking that night. And then he found out he had a game. So he...
Who is this again?
Sir Charles.
Okay.
He played a game intoxicated. Does that surprise you?
No.
No.
I kind of want to go back and watch the game.
Well, I mean, think about it. Does it surprise you? Because we saw games when Dennis Rodman would come back after spending all night till 3 o'clock in the morning in Vegas and then come play the Jazz, or Michael Jordan spending all night drinking and having a good time and then playing the Jazz, and we call it the flu game. Does it really surprise you that Barkley would do the same thing?
No, and I think it happens probably more than we know.
Absolutely.
Even in today's NBA. Chris Bosh says he's not done yet. He may be making a comeback. One, do you think it could happen? Two, where would he go? Where would you place Bosh? I'm guessing he's going to want to go on the highest bidding contenders team.
I hope he's able to do it and that he goes to the Raptors.
I hope and think that he will. I'm excited. I actually liked the news when I heard it break, and he broke it himself. Was it First Take? No, where did I see him come on? He came on and broke it and was talking about it. I'm excited for him. I hope he does. And I'm with John. I think the best place for him to end up would be in the Raptors.
Okay. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's funny how these things go. You end up with Wade back in Miami, LeBron back in Cleveland, and potentially Bosh in Toronto. It's like it's back to how it was meant to be, right?
And I think it makes the Raptors significantly better, too, if he comes back
plays as well as
he can, or as well as he did at one time. Maybe not all the way back.
So we'll see. I want to get your take on one more thing NBA-related. There's this rumor and this talk that keeps going around about LeBron and the Warriors, LeBron joining the Warriors. Do you want to see it happen? Do you hate the idea? Will you stop watching the NBA? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't see how he could. They would have to trade away Clay and somebody else,
possibly
in
Green,
order to pull it off. Yeah.
I mean, to be realistic, they'd have to get rid of two of their big four. You'd have to.
Yeah, the Warriors could probably do it if they could trade away Clay and Green, maybe Clay and Andre.
Maybe.
But you'd have to get rid of significant pieces for that to happen.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't happen. I would hate it. Warriors are my least favorite team anyway, but if LeBron joined it, it would be that much worse.
Agreed. I'm with John. Everything he said, I second that completely.
See, it's not the ideal thing for me because I would love LeBron to come to Utah and we go get that championship that we deserve. But, you know, part of me doesn't hate this. And listeners are going, wait, are my headphones broken? No, you heard me correct. I don't exactly hate it because I'm to the point I do hate the Warriors. I think it would completely destroy all, you know, competition in the league. But I think it would completely burn it down to the point that we don't get in this situation again. Somehow, I feel like something would have to be done by the league. And maybe create more of a level playing field for all teams. So I think it could be good long term. But the problem that I run into is the Jazz really can start building with the two pieces they have in Mitchell and Gobert. You know, and next year could be a really good year if everyone's healthy. You know, you get a healthy Exum back. You have a healthy Rubio coming back.
Right.
You know, they're missing Tabo right now, which I think is a huge understatement. You know,
yep.
We'll see what happens. But I don't hate the idea of burning it to the ground and finding a better way forward.
Well, I agree.
Okay, last thing I want to talk about is the Olympics.
Oh, good. I'm glad you went there.
Have you guys been watching the Olympics? I want to know if you've been watching, what you've been watching, what's been your favorite. What have you learned?
John?
My favorite that I've watched so far is the cross-country skiing, which doesn't sound that exciting, but it wound up being weirdly fascinating. I guess that's also a sign I haven't watched that much Olympics. but, you know, I watched this, the skating and the half pipe and a couple events.
I'm like John. I haven't.
Yeah, that was the one that I've been most entertained by so far.
And I'm like John. I haven't watched much. And I think I watched the cross country skiing because it just happened to be on the other night. But I wasn't really watching it. I toned it out. The Winter Games are not mine. I don't get into them.
Really?
No. Summer Games. It's where it's at for me. Fastest man in the world. Beach volleyball.
Perv. Okay.
Shut up. Because I like watching the guys and the girls beach volleyball,
hey, I'm
dude.
I'm not one to judge. I don't care.
Don't. And then basketball. Those are my three favorite events in summer games. So I can't get into winter games. It's just not my thing.
Okay. See, I've been watching quite a bit, and I loved watching the young 17-year-olds go out and get that gold for Team USA. I can't remember the kid's name. Red, the kid out of Colorado, I believe. Won the men's, and Chloe Kim won the gold for the women's. Those were both great. Sean White's pipe run was amazing.
In fact, not only was it amazing, but I believe that was the 100th gold medal in U.S. history in the Winter Games.
See?
I did see that.
The figure skating, I've actually started to enjoy watching, which I didn't think I would. You know, looking at it from the strength, conditioning, exactly how you have to nail those jumps and those moves and how precise you have to be in order to get the points. My favorite, though, I think, and it's just my thing, is I love watching curling. And I have thoroughly enjoyed seeing a lot of people, maybe some of our listeners even, tweeting out about curling and taking an interest in the sport, because I think the more you watch it and the more you learn about it, the more folks seem to take an interest in and love the sport.
Right.
Have you guys watched any?
No.
John, have you haven't watched any?
I've enjoyed the curling jokes on Twitter, though.
So have I.
Fine. If you get a chance, watch just a little bit.
Okay, fine.
Enjoy it. They're here for what, another week?
Yep.
It's fun. You know, even the stuff I don't get, it's been good.
All right, is that the last of your quick hits?
Yes.
Okay. Before we move on to our final segment, John just retweeted a Joe Ingles tweet. I think that answers our question whether Joe's in LA or not. Right?
Yeah.
Did it say?
Joe Ingles tweets out and says, "I'm not even there with you, and you're talking about me." And he tweets at Spider Mitchell, at Spider Mitchell, at Donovan. I can't remember the exact terminology. I just retweeted it. So
yeah, I'm not even around you this week, and you still talk about me, Spider Mitchell. Go Team World.
So I think that answers the question as to where Joe is. All right, moving on to our final segment, pop culture.
Yeah, the Black Panther opens today, so that's going to be the big movie of the weekend, but I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I.
The movie I saw last week was Hostiles, which is a Western starring Christian Bale. It was one of those that got released limitedly in December, trying to get some Oscar nominations to help boost it, wound up not getting any. It's not doing too bad at the box office, but it's not a barn burner either. And it was one of those where it's very well made. It's very gorgeous to look at. You know, the acting's really good. But it's a movie that kind of lives or dies on its ending. And the ending was just underwhelming and unfulfilling. Got to the end and I kind of was just had this feeling of, so what was the point? What message is it trying to convey with the how everything turns out? But everything up to that was really good. It's very bleak. Christian Bale he's a soldier and he's commissioned to take a dying Indian chief and his family from New Mexico to his reservation in Montana. And he's one who's been in jail for murdering troops, but he's dying of cancer. And so they're going to do this big PR gesture of letting him return to his family. And as he's escorting him on the way, they come across a woman who's husband and children were all killed by Indians, and so she sees the Indians and freaks out. But all of them wind up bonding on the journey there because of all the other hardships and external forces that they run into as they're going. It's really violent. It had more characters die than I thought would, and I think it's trying to show just the real bleakness and harshness of 19th century frontier life. But it's one that I can't really give a thumbs up just because of how it left me feeling by the time it was all over.
It's a bloodbath.
Yeah, it is.
Cool. All right. Well, that's Hostiles. I'm looking forward to our next show because we will talk Black Panther because planning yes, on will. Taking the family tomorrow to go see it. And I've heard nothing but rave reviews on it already. That said, I did take the family to see a movie last week. And I don't know if you ever saw this. I don't think we've had a chance to talk about it. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Did you ever see it?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it, did we?
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know if we did or not, but it's really funny. And it's a giant success right now. It's grossed like $365 million domestic, and I think it's around $700 or $800 million worldwide. It's The Rock's biggest movie since it's his biggest movie that isn't part of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Right. Can I just say it really surprised me because I thought, okay, you know, with all due credit to Robin Williams too and the original Jumanji, I loved it. I thought, how can it, is this a reboot? Are they going to ruin? And from start to finish, this is not a reboot. I mean, it is, but it isn't. They literally, it's almost like a handoff from the original Jumanji to this. And they bring it from mid 1980s, 90s to, you know, 2018, and they do it so beautifully. Just from the opening scene, the way they handed it off, I loved it. And I love the cast of characters. Kevin, what can you say about Kevin Hart? I mean, guy, I thought he was the life of the party, but I also really enjoyed The Rock. But the whole story I thought was just very well done, and the show had me laughing a lot throughout the movie, and then it had the feel good ending, and I just really liked it a lot. But I really liked how again they transitioned from a board game, and the transition in the movie I thought was a little weird, but they transitioned from a board game to an Atari-esque game, right? And now they've carried it on a little bit from there, and I liked the way they did that.
Yeah, well, I mean, when Robin Williams' character got sucked in, it was like 1970.
Yeah.
And then he's stuck in there for 20 years or 25 years.
Right.
And that made sense. And so for this one, in order to suck somebody in, it had to turn into a video game. And that made sense. And because, you know, it's magic.
Right.
They don't have to explain that part. We'll give you that. Jumanji is just this magic thing, and we don't know how it works. But they did honor it, and when they're talking to the pilot, he even refers to the character's name. Was the character named Alan?
Yes.
And he talks about how he kind of built a lot of this world anyway. So it is a direct sequel. It was really nice to see them pay homage that way, and it's really just kind of another excuse to have a body swapping comedy, because body swapping comedies, there's just tons that you can do with that, and most of them have been done badly, but this one's done really well. So you get to see them all play against type. You get to see Dwayne Johnson be the awkward kid, and Kevin Hart is the jock who should be 6'4", but he's in Kevin Hart's body.
Right.
And Jack Black was great as the Valley Girl who's stuck in his body. And then even Karen Gillan got to shine as the shy loner girl who's trapped in this gorgeous body. So all of them had their moments, and it's just really clever how it goes from beginning to end.
Well, the only character I thought really didn't get enough dues was the villain of the show. I thought they could have done more with him. So I was a little disappointed in, I guess, his development.
Yeah, he was kind of, his role was more of, well, the movie needs a villain somehow. But
right.
Yeah. I didn't,
And then the other guy, the final thought on this, the other guy that I thought was an unsung kind of a hero-esque was just, I thought Nick Jonas was very good at the guy who had been stuck in the game for 20 years. And I really liked his performance. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, me too.
So, no, Jumanji, Welcome to Jungle. If you've ever been on the fence of watching that, go see it. You have our stamp of approval. It was very good. Any additional thoughts on pop culture? Devin?
No, I think we're good. Or I'm good. Does Devin have any?
That's what I'm asking him.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm watching the Olympics, you know.
Yes, you are.
I'm supporting Team USA. What are you guys doing?
Whoa.
Watching movies.
Go USA. There. I am supporting them. Go USA. All right. Well, let's go ahead and put a bow on this. It's been a good show this week. We want to thank you all for listening. We appreciate your support each and every week. We can't thank you enough for the constant feedback and listenership and you know, back and forth you have with us over social media. It's been really good. We've enjoyed it. You can find us, as usual, on Facebook, Jedi and Germs, on Twitter, Jedi and Germs, anywhere you listen to podcasts, Jedi and Germs. If you've got a moment when listening, please just take a moment and leave a 5-star review with us, both on iTunes or on Facebook. Wherever you decide to, wherever you listen and wherever you go, we'd appreciate that very much. Share our episodes with everybody you know. Get the word out, because we do appreciate and we'd love to have more people join us. Thank you all very much. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. John, take us out.
Hey, everybody.